It's fitting, I think, today for our final session to address the wonderful discussion of fusionism, which has gone back, to the very beginning of the existence of the Philadelphia Society. When I came into the society in 1976, it was already very settled policy. As a matter of fact, when I asked what fusionism was, when I first heard about the Philadelphia Society, most people said, I don't know. I think it's what we do. And of course, from Don Lipsett, our esteemed early executive director, when I asked him what the Philadelphia Society did, he said, well, it's actually a tribal gathering. And I decided after a while that I did want to be part of his tribe. But this is interesting that we have a subject now and this discussion of the roots and the future of conservatism, a subject that really made up the discussions of the first year or year and a half or 2 years of the society's existence. Now, fusionism, many of you know, is usually associated with the name of Frank Meyer, who wrote for many years, of course, for Bill Buckley and National Review, and who had a column which for many years was entitled, lovely title, I thought, Principles and Heresies. Now, that always sounded to me like someone who was did not lack confidence in what he understood to be the meaning of the organizations he worked for. At any rate, he became convinced, himself coming to what we were calling broadly the conservative movement, himself coming from the classical liberal side, from the side that emphasized freedom of the individual. He became convinced, however, that listening to the discussions around him and the arguments around him, that conservatism in America was the victim of what he called a tragic bifurcation of the Western tradition in the 19th century, determined to, as best he could, do something about it. He came to a set of principles that he called reason operating within tradition. I'm quoting here from George Nash's book, and of course that's what I always do when I'm assigned, especially at the last minute, because Bill Dennis decided to fall off some rocks someplace. I always go to the shelf and get George's book and renew whatever I can remember about the subject. Reason operating within tradition. Before long, other people were calling what he was talking about, fusionism. Well, it is, I think we would agree, a rather inelegant name or title, and certainly rather vague. But it was an attempt to find out the commonalities that were emerging in American conservatism between those who came from primarily the classical liberal tradition and those who came primarily from a more traditional perspective. Meyer himself, I am told, often said privately that he thought that one of the real splits here was between those who came from a Protestant and those who came from Catholic backgrounds. And so we were faced with the prospect of potential religious wars, among other things. But at any rate, in 1964, he put together a book called What is Conservatism? And went out of his way to get both of these sides, these bifurcated sides, together. He had Russell Kirk and Wilmore Kendall defend their brands of traditionalism. He had the young, at that time, M. Stanton Evans, argue for a position which he was willing to call fusionism. He had Hayek, who contributed to this volume his famous essay, Why I Am Not a Conservative. And other conservatives, including Buckley himself and Stanley Perry and Stephen Tonser and Gary Wills and John Chamberlain, attempting to get all of the major perspectives represented in a way that Meyer hoped would show what they all had in common. Now, on one level, it didn't work. That is, they kept arguing with each other and calling each other some lovely names. But on the other hand, it did work, because in the aftermath of the Goldwater campaign, it simply became clear that however people might say they felt about fusionism, it had become the conventional wisdom of those who felt themselves to be a part of this movement. And of course, this was exactly the time in 1964 that the Philadelphia Society was founded, and so it became a convenient vehicle to continue to argue these principles and argue these ideas out. And as I say, by the time people of my generation came into the society in the middle 1970s, this was what we thought, and this is what we did. In part, and I think George Nash's insight into this is very valuable here, many conservatives adopted fusionism because one suspects they wanted to. In the great potential for political success that emerged in 1964 and then the great disappointment resulting from that Goldwater campaign, it would have been awfully comforting temptation to wish to have a set of beliefs that a consensus, let's say, that they could look at their fellow conservatives and say, this is what we believe. Second, as an attempt at theoretical harmony, fusionism was immensely assisted by the cement of anti-communism. This has become almost a truism when we look back at those days, but Indeed, there's no doubt how important that was. Whatever people might have disagreed about, those of us on the right all agreed that there was real evil in the world, and we were willing to join against it. And finally, when conservatives turned away from rarefied theoretical disputes about theology or historical genealogy, such as "What think ye of Burke?" or Mill, and considered the day-to-day conservatism they felt in their hips, as Wilmore Kendall said, they often found that it was not so difficult to identify what they stood for after all. So for a number of years, this became, however imprecise or however inelegant, it became a working consensus for what in the 60s and 70s, we were not ashamed to call the conservative movement. I know nobody likes to use that term anymore, but we all used it then. Now, we're going to have three very talented young people speak to this subject. First of all, I'm going to introduce them briefly, all three of them, and then they will speak, and then we'll go to the veteran of the group, Don Devine, later on, and hear his reflections. Brandon James Smith serves on Governor Sam Brownback's senior staff as policy director. And I just heard him assure people a little while ago that this is perhaps the only senator who is not running for president. He previously served, Brandon this is, as the Student Division Deputy Director for Federalist Society and as an adjunct professor at American University. He graduated with honors from Abilene Christian, received his JD from the University of Kansas Law School, where he clerked for a district court judge, and earned an LLM from George Washington University. He's also a former clinic director for Christian Legal Aid of the District of Columbia in Anacostia at the Southeast White House. Brandon has written various law review and opinion editorial articles in a variety of publications, primarily in the areas of national security, poverty and domestic policy, and conservative political thought, and currently lives in Lawrence, Kansas. Jacqueline Otto Isaacs, Jackie Isaacs, is the marketing specialist at the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics, where she manages the daily operations and strategy of the organization's marketing channels, including media relations, social media, advertising, product positioning, and email marketing. Previously, Jackie worked in public relations for the National Rifle Association. One thing we all like is pretty women who like guns, where she managed news and information dissemination to media through print and radio interviews. She's also developed and implemented content marketing strategies for America's Future Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute's Project on Values and Capitalism, and has contributed to research and publishing projects at the Catholic University of America School of Business and Economics and the Competitive Enterprise Institute. She's been published in Fox News, Investors Business Daily, The Daily Caller, Town Hall, The Austin American Statesman, and The American Spectator, among other places. Her education is, at least in part, from Oral Roberts University with a bachelor in government and a master of business administration in marketing from the Johns Hopkins University Carey Business School. Jason Sorens presently teaches in the Department of Government at Dartmouth College. His educational background in philosophy and political science was at Washington and Lee, and then a PhD at Yale. And while at Dartmouth, he's been teaching the last couple of years courses in such areas as comparative political economy, international political economy, and this is one I noticed and I liked, state making and state breaking. That sounds like a course that I would enroll in very quickly. He's also program director for Political Economy Project, administering lectures, reading groups, special events programs, and he's part of something, or president of the Ethics and Economics Education of New England, chief executive officer of educational nonprofit working with high school students and state-level policymakers. He assures me that he is not recruiting high school students to secede, but rather to help create a free state among the 50 states. So we'll look forward to hearing from all three of them in their turn. Brandon, why don't you lead us off?